Shalom, and welcome to Bible Stories as Blueprints of the Soul, your Biblical Hebrew podcast. This is from the book, The Language, Die Sprache, of Martin Heidegger. First and foremost, speaking is an expression. The image of the language, which is most common, is expression as, streaming or springing. Such an image is also presumed in advance, inner, that goes outer. If we see in the language an expression or streaming or springing, so we see it as an external. And this is particularly in the time when people explain the streaming or the springing while returning to the inner. So those are a few sentences from the book. Rodrigo, Yanis, would you like to summarize what we just heard? If not, I can repeat the reading and translating. Rodrigo, yes, Yanis, whatever comes to you, and we shall reread it, because we shall go back to the root in Hebrew and see how the same idea. Okay, we're reading. Page 14, yes. First and foremost, speaking is an expression. Hitbat'ut. Levate. Levate. Bet, tet, aleph, like better. Yeah? Start with the root letter is with bet. Yes. First and foremost, speaking is an expression. The image of the language, which is most common, its symbolizes or image is an expression. What can we say about the language? Symbolically speaking, it is an expression. The Hebrew here says haba'a nevi'ah. It comes from the root or the verb that we use to say about the spring of water, nevi'ah, nevi'ah. This is the springing of water, appearing of water from the source. So in English we say an expression. So let's start again. Reshit, yes, first and foremost, speaking is an expression. The image of the language, which is most common, is the image of springing, sprouting. Such an image is already presumed before an inner that springs out. So what is the language? It springs out. So it comes from somewhere inner and it springs out because it's an expression, like in English, expression, yes? If we see in a language expression, which is springing like a water, so we are symbolizing it as an external. And this is particularly when we explain that the springing is via returning to the inner. This idea is great. We just can express it in a very, very simple language, which is the Hebrew. Yes? Yes. Language in Hebrew, Safa. Safa, Shin Pei Hei. Let's write it here. Safa Shinpei He. Safa is not just a language, it's also an organ in the face. In English, it's lip. Lip. So what does the lip does in terms of functioning? It is a bridge or a gate. The lip, Safa, is standing in between what is inside as a mist, steam, warm air, yes. And once it is being spoken out from the lip, from the Safa, those are words. Do we see this before we continue? Can we see this? Regardless of what Martin Heidegger was writing, just this image. Safa is a language. English, French, German, and so. Yes, language. In Hebrew, Safa is not just a language, it's also an organ in the face, which is a lip. We have two lips, yes, but there's one lip. Yes, and the lips, which are surrounding the mouth, they are operating like a gate, like a city gate. Outside of the lips is the world. Inside of the lips, in the mouth, there's still warm mist or hevel. Yes? Do we understand? Rodrigo, Yanis. Yes. Great. Now, what Heidegger says, the language, regardless of what he says, this is how it is. The language is springing. It springs. It is springing out. Yes? From the inner, from the source, out into the world. And the language appears. The words are appearing. But according to their appearance in the world, whether they are print on paper, yes? Typed somewhere on a PC or being spoken out loud. They are telling us something, or they exhibit something of the inner that they came from. Is it understood? Once, yes, great. Once the language is being expressed via conversation, via text, it doesn't matter in which way. Once the words are out, being expression in the world, appearing in time and space, they are telling us about the source. So in English, we say expression. X is out, press is pushed, being pushed, something which is being pushed out. Yes? In Hebrew, it's haba'a from nevi'a. Nevi'a is springing, something that comes through the springing of water, sprung out from the source, and then it's nourishing everything. Everyone can drink it. So we can, the way, the language or the words, what are the units that are building the language are words. So the way the words are appearing here in this world, regardless of which language they are, yes, serving, let's call it like that, we can learn about the inner. So the words or the language is being expressed in the world, but in a way, the world is outside of the hidden, so to speak, because in the hidden, in the source, it is not revealed yet. But once it is outside as an expression, it can teach us a lot about the source, or where does it come from? Questions so far? Rodrigo, Yanis? Second, he says here first, and then we have second. The speaking or the speech considered to be as an activity of human or of a man. Due to that, we have to say, the man, the human, is speaking, and he is always speaking some kind of language. For this reason, we cannot say the language speaks, because the language produces the man as an outcome and as a result. In this way of thinking, it was the man, let's see how he says there, that the man is serving the language. This is just an expression of idea, because the name of the what he starts the book with, the language speaks, and now he's observing that the idea, okay, the language speaks, but who is the one that is speaking, and there is a man. So now, how does it go? The man or the language? This is the question that, in a very subtle way, he arises here in this text. Ulesium, and to summarize this idea, in an expression that a man takes out, there's always an image, an image and exhibition of what is real and what is not real. So far, this is the idea that he expresses here. Question so far, Rodrigo, Yanis. So who is speaking? Who was before? Language or man? The source, yes. Yes. This is a very interesting question. So the source speaks. And what happens is that the brain claims what? Ownership on the speech. And someone says, John says, or Mary says. Yes? John or Mary don't have the ability to speak at all. Unless if the source would be animated through them. You can speak, Rodrigo. You can unmute and speak. Man would be a vehicle for the manifestation of language. Yes. Yes. This is why many times in the Zohar we find this expression that the patriarch, meaning Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac, were vehicles. It is a very, very, very common speech of the Zohar that Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are vehicles. Are vehicles, and then comes David. This is how they want to express the four letters of the tetragrammaton. So, all of us are just vehicles through which the source expresses the happening. So there is no private story. There is no private story. What happens once there is an expression of a language through body, mind, or certain instrument, there's immediately claiming of the brain that I have the ability to speak. I am the speaker. I collect all the details and I can tell a story. Yes, and immediately there's a story. And once there's a story, there's a concept. And concept is all the time jails or cuts, in a way. Cuts and, how do you say, and tags, yes, and separates, yes. So there is, in a way, no, there isn't any story. Yes, Rodrigo is writing, words are not arbitrary, they carry with them an image of their origin. Yes, language shapes men, and men is at the service of the idea that manifests itself through men by language. Yes, yes. There's a beautiful article about Ovid. I don't know if you had the time or you have seen it. There's a beautiful post about Ovid, because here Rodrigo found a text. You really found a text beautifully. Yes. And this is why Ovid, in the book of Ruth, once a child is being born to Ruth and Boaz, the neighbors naming the baby or the newborn, they call the new baby Oved, Oved, which means in Hebrew works or working or service, to serve. And this is in a way to say that the new life is at service, because Adam in the garden was claiming ownership of the language. Once he could name the animals. And what does it mean in chapter 2 that he could name the animals? What does it mean? Create separation. Once he could name the animals, he created separation, object, subject. Therefore, he could not find a companionship, and he had to put to sleep to a level that he would not think himself as a king, and then he could find a companionship. So Oved, Oved, the child of Ruth and Boaz, and the neighbors are naming the baby Oved to say that he will be in service. He will not claim ownership like Adam in the garden, like later Cain claimed ownership about the land. He will not claim any ownership. He is just will enable life, works, move through him. Therefore, he is named Oved. Yes, not Obed in B. Yes, Oved. Oved from Avodah is, Avodah is work. So just let life work through him. Oved is also a verb. We could say he is working, or this is working. Yes, not as a worker. Yes, that creates the revolution. It's not a worker. And this is, it is working. It is working. And Oved, let life streams through him without creating any barrier of ownership. Once there is a sense of ownership of everything, I know, or I speak, there's a barrier between me and the world. There is no me, but there are barriers. But not with Oved. Because the neighbors at Bethlehem, they look at this child and they see without self-interest. Ruth left her house. Yes, she lost her husband. She lived with her mother-in-law, with Naomi. She came to Bethlehem, to people she doesn't know, to land she doesn't know, to language she doesn't know. She did not think about herself as a special story. So she came without interest. Also Boaz is without interest. And the fruit of the two, even the three, you could say, because Naomi was speaking all the time. So what comes from living without any self-interest is just life of service. This is why the neighbors, and please pay attention, it's not the mother, so to speak, father also, not even the grandmother. The neighbors, they have this perspective to say, Oved, it just works. Or working without self-interest, not to make money, not to make interest, yes, not to calculate, I'll pick it in the summer, preserve it in the winter, cost-benefit and so. This is Oved. So through this lens, all of us are Oved. Because it doesn't matter what we think about our names, stories, circumstances. Life is moving through us. And life moves through clouds and birds and the seas and the dolphins, they also move through us. We are all vehicles. Yes, Rodrigo? Rodrigo, can you unmute and speak? Because I see that you...
Sorry,
you come
sorry.
It's okay.
It's interesting, Eti, that you mentioned the name of Ed, because this word is written with I and with Dalet, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
And Ed is testimony also. Right?
Yes.
And we are the vehicles, and we are also the testimonies of this manifestation. The manifestation, yes. Of course, through us and Oved, we are in service to this source, and we are serving the source, and also we are testimony the manifestation.
Yes, testimonies and witnesses, because Ed is also witness. So we are, yes, excellent, yes, it's great. Let's continue reading, unless if you have questions. Rodrigo or Yanis, if you have questions. Life is not personal, and this is what summarizes also the Book of Ruth. This is no personal. There is no personal story, and there is no personal life. What happens through all of us. Nobody asks us, we did not give consent to anything. Therefore, we should not be sad or happy for what is happening, because it's just streaming of the river through us. So there is no need to create any attachment or to say, oh, this is what defines me, or this is what, because there is no definition. Because any definition is just the closure, like try to jail a picture and to say, this is me. Because there is no me. Why? Because there's only what? Rivering, there's only the streaming and expression. Yes, we are not statues. Michael, how do you say? Michelangelo, he made very beautiful statues. Beautiful. But we are not statues. We are not made of stone. Life is moving through us all the time. There's movement all the time of language, the heart pulsates, there's air streaming So we are not objects. And this is so beautiful. Any attempt of the brain to take a marker and to say, hey, to pinpoint, this is who you are, this is your story, yes, this is your address, and this is completely fictional. Yes? Our true nature, and a river goes out of Eden. This is who we are. This is what happens through us. Yes? But the river, which is like with four heads or so, but this is the manifestation. But the manifestation tells us about the source. Questions, Rodrigo, Yanis? What happens is if we add another letter to the word Safa, we get the word made Shifra. Yes, if we put Shifra, I will put it with a dash that you will be able to see that. Like that. This is a maid. Yes? And this is what he says, that sometimes the language teaches about reality and what is not reality, because depends of what kind of speaking comes out. Yes? And this is what also Philon of Alexandria says about Hagar, because she was Egyptian maid. And this is the wisdom of the world. All kinds of wisdoms. But all the divided wisdoms are not standing on their own. They are just an expression of something higher. Is this idea understood? They speak, for an example, of seven kinds of wisdom. Have you heard this before? Seven kinds of wisdom. Have you heard the term before, in the Middle Ages or even later? Mathematics, rhetorics, and so. Have you heard those things? Trivium, quadrum, Rodrigo. Have you heard this before? Yes. So together, trivium and quadrum, three and four, there are seven. Yes? And those sevens are not standing on their own. They're just an expression of higher source. They're not standing on their own. Therefore, the affinity that Abram had for Hagar was for what? For the seven wisdoms of the world. Yes, Hagar represents the seven wisdom of the world. Therefore, when he was 99, yes, he was told that his wife will have a son. His wife will have a son. Not from the seventh wisdom of the world, not from the seventh day of the week, but from the eighth day, beyond time and space, and he will love. Again, the relationship between Hagar as Egyptian maid and Abram are marked by the number seven. Once Abram is informed that his wife will have a son, not he. It's It said that his wife, Vehine ven leSarah ishtecha, there's a son to Sarah, your wife. It's not his. It's not his. And Philon repeats this fact many, many times in his writings. So once there's a son to Sarah, the son, or Isaac, or Yitzchak, he shelav, is not coming from the realm of the seven. Yes? He's coming from the eighth day, Sfirat Binah, Chokmah, the three uppers. Therefore, Sarah, when they're making a banquet or a feast, when Isaac is three, Vayigamal Yitzchak, you remember we were speaking about the letter Gimel, that the Gimel is nourishing, and when Isaac is 3 years old, they're making a feast, and at this moment, Ishmael takes a bow and arrow and shoots at Isaac, being three, and Sarah sees that, and she asks Ishmael, what do you do? And he says, Metzachek is like, I'm doing it like as a fun. Yes, as I'm just playing with bows and arrows. And she said, no, he's not just playing bow and arrow. His intention to take Isaac into two. Therefore, she said, please expel. She said, the son of the maid, the son of the maid will not inherit with my son Isaac. Meaning, this is not a personal speech. Nothing in the Bible or in life is personal. What does she mean? Ishmael, as the son of the seven, cannot inherit or have the same perspective as the son of the eighth. Because the son of the eighth day is the perspective of what? Shemen, oil, anointed oil. Shmona, the eighth sphere, is Bina. So the seven can never have the same perspective as the eighth, or the anointed one. Can never. Therefore, the seven, not just as the Ishmael, as a personal story, the seven is being expelled from the map, like a broken building. On time, there's an entropy. It is falling. After a while, gravity, everything will fall. So, what is built in time, or what is appearing in time, can also fall or disappear in time. This is why the seven and the eights are completely different realms. But laughter, never. You can never destroy laughter or laughing because it's not from here. It's not rational. You cannot control it. Suddenly there's a splash of laughter or there's a certain joy in the heart. You can never break it. You can never expel it because it doesn't come from here. It appears here, but it's not from here. Therefore, she said, Lo yirash ben ha'ama. Ama is not just a cubit, it's also a slave, a maid, with my son, with Isaac, im bni, im Yitzchak. He can. Those are two different perspectives, the sevens and the eights. What appears in the seven will be demolished. Everybody that appears, yes, will disappear, but not consciousness. Never ever. And there's a beautiful verse about Joseph, just few lines before he's been put in the pit, that he is playing or he is moving with the sons of the maids. He is herding He is herding like a shepherd the sons of the maids. This is a very, very key point to understand also what precedes the traveling to Egypt. Yes, what does it mean? This is the secret here. What does it mean that Joseph is herding like a shepherd the sons of the maid? What kind of a connection is it, and how it has to do with language? Yes, and Egypt. This is a question. If you want to think a bit about it later at home, you're most invited. It's a beautiful, beautiful verse. Any questions, Yanis, Rodrigo? We shall be delighted about anything. Just ask about anything that you want. So we would like to thank you so much for participating here today, dear Yanis and Rodrigo. Happy holidays for all. And we shall be happy to see you here on Saturday. Thank you so much and wonderful life from all of us. Toda ulitraot. Thank you for listening to Bible Stories as Blueprints of the Soul, your Biblical Hebrew podcast. For more information, articles, videos, and interactive classes, please visit hebrew.learnoutlive.com or join our YouTube channel. Shalom v'chol tov.